no God like Jehovah. There's 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 no God like Jehovah. The old he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the ear of Jubilee. Pour out of Zion till salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. At the trumpet call, lift your voice in the ear of Jubilee. Pour out of Zion till salvation comes. Pour out of Zion till salvation comes. Yes, out of Zion till salvation comes.
Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
For criminals and every Pharisee, you came for hypocrites and even more like me. You carried sins and shame, the guilt of every man, the weight of all I've done, nailed into your hands. Oh, your love bled for me. Oh, your blood in crimson streams. Oh, your amazing grace, I've seen and tasted it. It's running through my veins. I can't escape its grip. In you, my soul is safe. You cover everything. Oh, your takes away our sin, who takes away our sin. The Holy Lamb of God makes us alive again, makes us alive again. Behold the Lamb of God, takes away our sin, takes away our sin. humbled by your majesty, covered by your grace, I'm so free. Here I am, knowing I'm a sinful man, covered by the blood of the Lamb. And now I have found the greatest love of all. Since you laid down your life, the greatest sacrifice, sing majesty, sing majesty, your grace has found me just as I am. but alive in your head. I sing majesty. We're singing majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Forever I am changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty. Forever we are changed by your love. In the presence of your majesty.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Master. Glory. Majesty. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Aren't you thankful for Jesus? Oh, what a God He is. He is the Lord of Lords. He is the King of Kings. There's no God like Him. Hallelujah. I like it. God does things so many different ways. Last week's services, I knew exactly what we was going to do, exactly what was going to be said. And there's a comfort in that. But this morning, I don't have a clue. I don't have a clue because I've studied like I always do, prepared. But there's so many different things going through my mind. I want to talk to you. I feel like the Spirit of God wants to encourage us about the reality of what Jesus has come to do for us. And I think sometimes we don't understand the power of what the cross, what it meant, and what it has for us. The cross is the answer to every trouble, every struggle, every problem, every issue of your life, my life, everything that we'll have. The answer come from the cross, because Jesus went to the cross and He died and He destroyed every work of the devil. Because when He was placed in the tomb couldn't hold Him, amen? And because the life of God was in Him, and He laid down His life and He took His life back up again, fulfilling all Scripture. And so the confidence that you and I have that what Jesus done, He solved separation. Amen? He solved separation. This morning, in your life, in my life, there's situations and circumstances in our life where the devil wants to bring separation, whether it be between individuals, whether it be between families, whether it be between co-workers, whatever, neighbors, whatever the situation might be, or He wants to bring separation, especially between you and our God. But we got a Savior this morning by the cross that bridges the gap. And He takes, and He solves separation. Amen? I want you to think about the words of Jesus as He was on the cross. And as He was on the cross, and as He took all the sin of the world, as He took my sin, every sin that I would ever commit, He took it on His back. And that sin, in the sense, it solved my separation from God. Because remember what Jesus done. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? And when He made that statement, He was fulfilling Psalms 22, which was written 750 years or so before the fact of what was going to happen. And see, I have the confidence this morning, you have the confidence this morning, that because Jesus took that sin upon His very back and He allowed the separation, because where sin comes, God can't have a part of it. And he took that sin, and in his own blood, he was the absolution. He was the consummation of the plan and the word of God, to where now that cross brings us back together. So this morning, I want us to be in the place and the position to recognize and realize what our God can do. And so let's go in the book of Isaiah. Hallelujah. And let's look at some scriptures, I think, that will help us so much. You know, Isaiah chapter 60. Let's look at what this, the very light of the Lord, what it has done. And then we'll back up a chapter. But Isaiah chapter 60, if you would, let's read verses 1 through 3. Now, this is written about the glory of the church. Say, that's written to me. Amen. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." Now notice the part what he said, "For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but," hallelujah, "but the Lord shall rise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." Brother Donnie, would you pray?
Lord, thank you for your presence in our life today, Lord. Thank you for this message you've sent us, Lord. Thank you for the very privilege of being here, Father. For the still of mine, Lord, open our hearts, Lord, and step into the true will of you, Father.
Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this morning here you and I are, and we're walking through this world. We're walking in this sinful world, but we have been in a place and a position where we've been challenged. We've been challenged to come out of darkness and come into light. We've been challenged to see what Jesus Christ has done for us. We've been challenged to recognize that Jesus Christ was there to fill in the gap for us, and that he has called us into his many-membered body. He has named us into that body. He has called us his church, the called out ones. You are part of the assembly, not talking about denomination, but the assembly of God. Amen. And you're here in this moment of time for a destiny. And so the gross darkness was upon the land. Gross darkness was upon the people. It was upon you. It was upon me. But Jesus Christ said, "I'm going to take what is," Brother Corey talked about this morning, that the very definition of darkness is just the absence of light. He said, I'm going to take, and I'm going to cause darkness to flee, because I'm going to send my son Jesus, according to the Gospel of John. He is light. Amen. And I'm going to send him, and I'm going to cause that light to arise and to shine upon you. And he said, the reason why I want that to take place, because I want you to know that everything that has been separated out of your life, I'm here to solve that. I'm here to bring it back together. Jesus is the original problem solver. Jesus is the one who can take and put, make the impossible, as we said last week, possible. Amen. So this morning, I want you to see that that God puts a but in your life. He puts a but in my life, because in verse number 2, he said, "For behold, the darkness shall cover. It shall cover the earth." Now that word darkness there, you know what the word literally means? It means misery. Misery. The devil, anywhere the devil is working and operating, there is misery. There is turmoil. There is an absence of truth. There's an absence of peace. There's an absence of comfort and all of these things. And he said that it's going to cover the earth. And he said, gross darkness, it shall be upon the people. But then he put the but in your life, in my life. But the Lord shall rise upon thee. Hallelujah. So this morning, I don't care what the situation of your life is, the situation of my life is, I've got to take my circumstance and my situation, and I've got to let the Word of God determine the reality of where I'm at and where I'm going. I've got to let the Word of God have the final say. Amen. I've got to let the Word of God do what only it can do, and that's to solve the very lack of light in my life. The light always brings truth. Light always brings healing. Light always brings the possibility of what God truly wants. Amen? And so he said it shall, that his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now let's see this. God's glory is going to be seen upon you this morning. It's going to be seen upon me because first of all, we had something that was contrary to that. We had something that was 180 degree in the other direction. We had something that was opposite to what God said we had. But now God's saying, I'm going to take what you've got, your circumstance, your situation, and I want to call it something else. I want to put a new name on it. I want to solve that situation. Now go back to this 59th chapter, and let's get the full grasp of this. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. It said, behold, in other words, I want you to get this in your spirit, God's saying to us, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Glory. The hand of God can reach into whatever your situation is this morning. Whatever my situation is, it doesn't matter how far the gap is. It doesn't matter how wide the turmoil. It doesn't matter what the lack is. He said, I want you to behold it. I want you to let it be conceived in your spirit because I've spoken it. I want you to see the hand of God is working in your life. It's working all around you. It's working in people's lives that you don't even know, that you don't even understand. The hand of God is reaching in and is touching their heart. It's changing their attitude. It's changing the way that they perceive and a thought process of how they feel about you and how they feel about circumstances surrounding you. Our God, He wants to change it. Amen? His hand is there. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. Glory. Now let's think about that just for a minute. Jesus, Jesus, Yeshua, God's Savior. Now, Hebrews 7:25 says that Jesus saves to the uttermost. So that means that He has a plan beyond what the devil's trying to show us, beyond what we're feeling in the natural. He has a plan, and that plan is that His hand wants to work in your life. Well, His hand is there if you and I will receive it. His hand is there to move and motivate if we'll believe in it. See, the Bible says that the Lord wants you to trust Him. That you and I can only satisfy Him. We can only please Him in our ways when we walk by faith. In other words, when we walk by the Word of God. It says that neither His ear is heavy that it cannot hear. He says, but your iniquities have separated you. Now mark that down. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God. Now, so there's a separation that has happened in our life. Now, in our situation, there's all sorts of separations. There's all sorts of things that the enemy brings up because of the fall of man, because of our past, because of these situations. But you and I no longer operate and live according to our past. We operate and live according to now. Now. Now is, today's the day of salvation. Amen. Today is the day that the Lord is active in your life, active in my life. Today's the day that that hand is working and operating. And so you may be dealing with a lot of circumstances that seem like there is no way for an answer. There's no way for a person to be changed, for a situation to be changed, for something to be brought together. But right here, he said that your iniquities separated you from your God. But Jesus come to solve separation. So all of a sudden, when you and I, when we repent and we accept Jesus Christ as Savior, and He saves us to the uttermost, it doesn't matter what happened 5 minutes ago. What matters is right now. Right now, when God the Father looks at you and I, He sees the blood of Jesus, and He looks and He calls us and counts us as that we're justified, that we're redeemed, just as we never sinned. So He solved that separation. So if He solved the biggest separation that would ever happen, which separated you from life and caused you and I to be walking in death, but now we're reconciled unto God because of the blood of Jesus, then He can reconcile every situation about your life, every situation about my life. But what I've got to learn to do, I've got to learn to let Him save me to the uttermost. I've got to walk into this reality. I've got to talk in this reality. I can't let any other words of the world, of the flesh, of the devil come out of my mouth. I've got to say what God says. I've got to say that Jesus is saving me. He's saving my family. He's saving this situation. He's saving my job. He's saving my health. He's saving my finances. He's saving all things about me to the uttermost. Amen? God's hand's not too short. It's reaching into that situation. But His ear's not too heavy. My God can hear me. This morning, your God can hear you. Amen. He can hear the very heartbeat. And He can hear the desires of your heart. The Bible says that the Lord wants to give you the desires of your heart. Amen. He's longing to get you in a place, in a position, to get me in a place, in a position to receive. There's so many things in my life that God wanted to bless me with that I couldn't receive because my mouth cut me off from God. My mouth stopped Him from being able to operate in my life. See, if I say what I feel, if I say what I've got, then that's all I'm going to ever have. If I say what the devil's showing me, that's going to be a creative force in my life. But I've got to come back and I've got to go, wait a minute. God is listening to everything I say. So I'm going to unite with God. I'm going to hook up with the Most High God. I'm going to hook up with the Savior of the universe. Amen? And I'm going to say what He says. Now notice what happens here. He says, but your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sin have hid His face from you that He will not hear. Now that's the negative part of this. So you and I being blood washed, we've got to flip this to the New Testament, to the moment right now. That means that God's face is looking at you. Because see, here they were separated, but now you're not. Now, the Bible says in Numbers 6, 24 and 25, I believe it is, that if God's face is shining on you, the favor of God is on you. The favor of God. Now, if you've got the favor of God, you know what that does? That causes the whole world that is stirred up against you to cower down, to back up. It causes the whole world who wants to bring God's judgment, who wants to bring destruction in your life, working in your life, it causes them to be convicted of their own conscience. And it causes them to change and to walk away and to let Jesus do what only He can do. Now let's look at an example of that. Go with me to the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John, chapter 8. Now, you and I have got to learn how to put this into practice for us. Now, you've heard this preached, but I bet you've never heard it preached this way because I've never thought about it this way. John chapter 8, verse number 1. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning, verse 2, and early in the morning He came again unto the temple. Notice this. Mark it down in your mind's eye. All the people came unto Him, and He sat down and taught them. Now, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives, olives meaning the anointing. He went to the place, just him and the Father, and He got filled up with the will of God, with the plan of God, with the Word of God. And He comes down and He sits down to teach the people. He sits down to bring a blessing to the people. Now this morning, God's got a blessing for you. He's got a blessing for you through Jesus. Amen? But there's going to be some trouble out here. There's going to be some distraction out here to try to keep you and I from receiving that blessing. There's going to be some religion out here. There's going to be some judgment out here to try to keep you and I from receiving what God would have for us. Now notice what happens. Verse number 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees brought unto Him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst... Now, can you see this in your mind's eye? Here Jesus is, the Son of God, the one who solves separation. Here He is. He's just been in the presence of His Father, and He comes from the presence of His Father, and He brings that atmosphere into the temple. That atmosphere of love and forgiveness. That atmosphere that solves separation. And all of a sudden, here comes the religious bunch. Here comes the crew that... that wants to bring God's judgment on everybody and everything. We've all been around them. I've actually participated in it before. God forgive me. Amen. But here's the situation. So they bring this lady to him, verse 4. And they say unto him, Master, which means teacher, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Verse 5. Now they go to tell Jesus the word, what the word says. Don't you love that? See, that's the way religious people are. But you got the Spirit of God. You don't need somebody to tell you what the word says. The Bible says that you have the unction of the Spirit of God, and He teaches you all things. Amen? You know the truth regardless of what the world wants to present, because the separation gap has been solved. Amen? By the cross. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his finger, wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. Now, here's the great thing about our God, and this is what I want you to get. There may be a lot of people talking about you, be talking about your situation. The devil may be yakking in your ear about the separation in this situation, the struggle in this situation, the divisive nature of this situation. All of these things, the devil may be using people to talk and to rattle, to try to move you away. But you've got to stay in the place that, hey, I come to sit down at the feet of Jesus because I know that His hand is not too short. I know His ear is not too I know that His hand is working in my life. I know that His ear is attuned to what I'm saying. And I know that He's putting in me His desire and His plan. And because He solved the separation between me and the Father, He's going to solve all of these other things. Amen? That's my God. So I'm not going to let this distract me. I'm going to be like Jesus. I'm going to just hold on to what I got when I was alone with the Father. And I'm going to let all of this stuff talk. I'm going to let all of this stuff act. But it's not going to provoke me. It's not going to move me from peace. It's not going to cause me a reaction. See, the devil wants to provoke you to a reaction. He wants to provoke me to say something. Because if I say something, then I put my label on it. And if I put my label on it, then I put a creative force because I've come in agreement with the devil. Because the Bible says when two agree here on earth on any one thing. Now, we look at that as the positive side, but we need to see it as the negative side too. Because you see, it causes God to have to do what is said here on earth. See, God can't bless me if I've come in agreement with a curse. If I come in agreement with a separation, God can't bring unity. If I come in agreement with a sickness, God can't bring healing. If I've come in agreement with a lack of finances or a lack of love or a lack of whatever it might be, and I'm not willing to come in agreement with the blessing of God, then it'll never happen. Because God is cut off. His hand has been shortened because my sin, because I've come in agreement with the enemy, has stopped Him. Amen? So here Jesus says, He's not even listening to this. He's down writing in the ground. And you can assume what you want to. I believe, personally, He's writing two different scriptures, but we ain't got time to get into that. So when they continued asking Him, Jesus, He lifted up Himself and said unto them. Now notice this. He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. Now, Jesus knows how to get right to the situation, right to the heart of the matter. Because the Bible tells us very clearly, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen? But there's where God puts these buts in our life, just like He did in Isaiah. He does it in the New Testament. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen? So here this but is working in our life. But Jesus says, you're not without sin because you haven't even believed. You haven't even called out. You haven't even been in a place of allowing grace and mercy because you're not willing to give grace and mercy, you can't receive grace and mercy. Amen? And we're going somewhere. And again, he stooped down and he wrote on the ground. And when they heard it, being convicted of their own conscience, went out one by one. Hallelujah. Now this is where you and I have got to learn, and we've got to do like this whole situation that Jesus demonstrates for us. Jesus doesn't argue with them about what the lady did do or didn't do. And so what you and I have got to do, when the devil starts poking on your shoulder and showing you what somebody done or trying to bring conviction in your life, what you've done, don't even go there. Amen? Don't even go there. So what you've got to do, you've got to do like Jesus. I've got to do like Jesus. I've got to say, wait a minute. My God, He promised me, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Separation is going to be solved in this situation. I've got to stay in the place where I do like Jesus. I stoop down and I write what God says. Because see, the very sand of the earth, where did you come from? We got to put this word to keep this body under subjection, to put it in the truth of the Word of God. We've got to write it in our very lives. And so what I've got to say is what God says. The whole world is saying, I'm this or I'm that. The whole world is saying that this will never be put together. But I serve a God who says, I can make the impossible, as we said last weekend, possible. Amen? So here we are. Notice this. They were convicted by their own conscience and went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone and the woman standing in the midst. Now, you can imagine, here this lady is. She's standing here in the midst, and she's got all of these religious people talking about how bad she is, what she's done. And she is separated from everybody else. She is all alone, but she's not separated from Jesus. This morning, I don't care what the situation is in your life, in my life, you are not separated from the Lord. Amen? And so they may be all these things happening, but let's be quiet and let's let Jesus bring conviction upon the people. Let's let Jesus take care of their own conscience. Let's let Jesus open their eyes to the truth. Let's let Jesus take and label some things in His way, in His words. Notice verse number 10. When Jesus had lifted up Himself, think about this. Now, what did Jesus say in John 12:32? If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Amen? But Jesus was lifted up before this lady, not because He judged her, but because He was willing to give her grace. Amen? This morning, I want you to think about what Jesus said when He said, He's talking to His disciples. He said, ask them this statement. This one person, they owed a lot, and God forgave him. Another person owed little, and God forgave it. Which one, Jesus said, which one do you think appreciates it the most? I appreciate a lot what God's done for me. Amen? Don't you? Hallelujah. Now, think about this. He lifted Himself up. She had saw Him, and she had received this. And notice this. When Jesus lifted Himself up and saw none but the woman, He said unto her, woman, where are those thine accusers? Now, this is amazing to me, because here this lady is. She is standing there, and she recognizes and realizes that everything that's being spoken, every word that is hurled at her, is there to separate her further from God, separate her further from society, separate her further from her family. But here is a Savior that is trying to solve this separation. Here's a Savior that is there, and He looks at and He says, woman, where are your accusers? That's what Jesus is wanting to do in our life this morning. Where are those people who are trying to divide you and your family, divide you from all the blessings and the promises of God? Where are they? See, if we don't give them credit, if we legitimize what the devil says when we repeat it. Woman, where are thy accusers? Now, who are we talking about? Revelation chapter 12 says that the devil is the accuser of the brethren. Amen? But how do we overcome that accuser? By the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen? All right. Woman, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? Now notice this, verse number 11. She said, no man, Lord. No man. Now think about this. This is what Jesus done. You have a whole group of men here. They're going to stone her to death. They're done stoning her to death with their words. But the Savior who solves separation, who solves sin, who solves all the trouble that the devil brings in this world, he stands between her and them. And because he'd been in the presence of God and he brought the will of the Father, which is the grace of God, in this situation, and he was teaching that, their whole conscience was convicted by the Holy Spirit, by the presence of Jesus, the Word. And they walk away. And he asked her this question, woman, where are thy accusers? Now see, I think this is amazing because, see, he asked her one more time. He said, hath no man condemned thee? And she said, no man, Lord. Now, this is a great lesson for me because you may not have this problem, but here's what I would say. Can I be honest with you? Well, Lord, well, this one went that way, and this one went this way, and this one went this way, and this one went that way. Come on, you're not getting it. That wasn't what she said. Because Jesus, he solved the problem. He solved the separation. He solved the sin. He solved the whole situation by his presence being in the midst of it. And she said, no man, Lord. No man. That's what we've got to say. And instead we sit and we talk about, oh, but you know, I've got, this need is so big. I know I serve a big God, but boy, this is a big need. No man, no need, no problem, no struggle, no health issue, no lack. Jesus come to solve it. Everything that he come, Brother Corey said it this morning, he come that you might, that I might have abundant life. Amen? And anything less, I've got to come back to the Word of God and let him do what he promised he would do. Amen? All right. He said, woman, where are thy accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, no man, Lord. Notice this. Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. Okay, now here's her label. Her label was, she's an adulterer. She's a sinner. That's what the world said. Jesus said, sin no more. Now, you got to come to the reality that when you ask God to forgive you of your sins, that you're no longer a sinner. You've been saved by grace. Now you're called a saint. All the epistles are written to the saints at the church of Galatia, the saints at the church of Ephesus, the saints at the church at Corinth, on and on and on and on. But you've got to label yourself the way God labels you. You've got to see that God has solved the separation. He has solved the sin, and you no longer have a sin problem. You have no problem because you're in Jesus Christ. He carried all the problems of the world on the cross. He destroyed them in the tomb, and he come back up, and he stood in your place in front of God at the mercy seat. So this morning, here you are. Here I am. We've got to let God say what he has to say about us. Don't think about the past. Don't think about the mistake. Think about the one who solved the mistake. Let God bring you in perfect union with all the promises of God. See, this lady, all of a sudden, as she's standing there, now, let's be honest. Because of the condemnation of man in the world, she is feeling dirty. We've all felt dirty because of sin. But all of a sudden, when Jesus looked at her and said, I don't condemn you. Now, what does that mean? That means in the Greek, it means, I don't judge you. Okay, we all quote John 3:16. Put John 3:17 on the screen, Sister Tori. John 3:17. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Woo! Hallelujah. That means everything about your life, God wants to be a part in, God wants to save it. Amen? So this morning, I want you not let any label be attached to you. Not any label be attached to a situation in your life. Not any, let any label be attached to your dreams. Here's, the devil wants to put a limit on your dreams. He wants to say, you can have this, but you'll never have that. Really? Where's that written in here? Jesus said you can have whatsoever. Ask and you shall. Oh, hallelujah. That's what God says. That's what the one whose hand is reaching in your life, whose ear is listening to your heart. Hallelujah. So this morning, let's let the label of Jesus Christ, not the label of the world, be on us. Let's let the Savior solve every situation. And let's bring the separation from us and the promise of God through Jesus Christ. Let's bring it together. Amen. Pray with me. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for your goodness, your grace, your mercy, your love. We ask you, Father, right now to arise in every one of our hearts. Let your light shine. Lord, any place in our life or in our family or a friend or whoever is on our heart, let that's in darkness, gross darkness, that's in the misery of the working of the enemy, let the light of the Lord, let it shine on it, upon it. Let the light of the Lord be ministered in our lives, because if we'd have kept reading in John 9:12, you are that light of the world. Right now, help us just to humbly receive what you would have for us. And let us stand before you, not condemned, but vindicated. Not dirty, but washed. And because of that, because of the merit of what you've done for us, we qualify to receive the promises of God, where you're saying yes, waiting on our amen. Let us this morning, let us receive that. Let us walk in that. We ask you, Father, right now to speak to us and draw us and bring us to a new level of understanding. Let every label of the enemy be erased by the blood of Jesus Christ right now. Let it be solved in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Would you come this morning and make yourself an altar and say, Lord, I want everything that you would have for me. I got situations that the world is labeled, that the devil has labeled. I've got lack. I've got heartache. I don't have peace about this. I don't have an answer for it. Whatever it might be. Would you come and give it to the Lord this morning and say, Lord, here I am. Here I am, and I'm trusting in you. And I believe that every separation in my life has been solved by the Savior. I believe that every label by the world and every limitation by the world can be washed away by the blood of Jesus. Would you come this morning? Would you come on behalf of your family, your friends? Would you come on behalf of your neighbor, on whoever's on your heart? And take it to the Lord this morning. Because His hand is not too short. His ear is not too heavy. Because you're under the blood. You have the face of the Lord shining in your life, on your life. That means if you have the face of God, you can see what God's seeing. Let me tell you what God's seeing. God is seeing His word come to pass in their life. Seeing a lady caught and named and labeled one thing and brought into the kingdom and labeled a saint. Part of the kingdom, a kingdom kid. It's yours this morning. Don't miss your opportunity. Give it to God. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Seated above, enthroned in the Father's love.